Today's program is brought to you by Underground Meats. We're proud to count Underground Meats as a business member of Heritage Radio Network. Located in downtown Madison, Wisconsin, Underground Meats creates handcrafted salami and cured meats. They source from the nation's most quality pasture-raised heritage pigs and goats. The Underground Collective also offers a variety of classes and workshops. We encourage you to visit undergroundmeats.com to learn more. You can also get your own Underground Meats care package by becoming a VIP member of Heritage Radio Network. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate for more.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Crazy Daisy, we're back. You better believe we're back. Today we're going to be talking about sex and rock and roll and pizza.
Pizza, but that's probably why I'm here, not the
that's
sex.
That's right, my favorite pizza, Pizzaramba, back.
Pizzaramba, my favorite. I'm sorry, the lovely Judy's not here.
Judy's at home, wrapped. Tuning into us right home, hovering over her internet machine, surrounded by feral cats.
Do we reach Jackson Heights?
they have the internet in Queens.
Queens
is the next big thing.
Queens is the next.
Despite your attempts to keep it off the map, Zaremba.
I want to keep it quiet. Anyway, in the secret surprise co-guest Durward Kirby seat, Zaremba.
Well, we got a lot happening today, including
what is that?
The world premiere of a Fleshtones cover of a Rolling Stones song today.
Let's call it a sneak preview.
A sneak preview.
I don't want the Norton people to say, "Oh, I've jumped the."
Okay, so underground.
Jump the gate. Fly the gate.
I'm sure our listener won't tell.
No, but, our listener. Mum's the word.
But also here today, joining
Who's
us.
Who's here?
Today,
who is this guy?
Who's here? Who is this guy? This nice young man. He's a mensch. I'm telling you, he's a mensch. Zaremba. You know what a mensch is? It's a human fucking being. And let me tell you, This is one of the best.
He looks like a man. Who is he? Wait a second.
At 37, I think puberty is just going to be around the corner soon.
It's coming.
It's late happening. Bloomer. And when it happens, it hits you hard. It's Michael Lee Nirenberg, our good friend, Michael Lee Nirenberg, who is, among other things, the director of Back Issues, the Hustler magazine story, which can now be seen on Netflix streaming, which is like a huge fucking deal because that's how everybody watches everything.
And
those kids who didn't go out to see the indie film circuit to see what is a very fabulous documentary, now all you can do is push a button on your internet machine and voila.
Thank you for having me back.
Good to see you, Mike.
It's good to be here.
It should be noted that I'm in your movie. You made me a star. You are a star maker.
You made me a star because you were so funny.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, but you were thoughtful. True. You sort of gave me the first and the last word in your film.
Because you wrote the book on it.
For the listeners, what's the title of this movie?
Back Issues, the Hustler magazine story.
Oh, okay.
Right.
There you go.
It's
a simple title.
A simple title. And that's exactly what it is. It is the Hustler magazine story. And
cut and dry.
I'm very flattered and honored to be in it with such a great cast, including our friend Mr. Faringer, Harold Price Faringer, who just passed away recently. The Joe DiMaggio of First Amendment lawyers.
Rest in peace, Faringer. That guy was great. A giant.
A dinosaur. They don't make him like that anymore. A man who really, to see Mr. Faringer, who had hair the color of bleached mercury, I mean, just the silver shock of hair, and dressed these beautiful suits, and he defended scumbags like Al Goldstein and Larry Flint. He's the guy that kept the pornographers out of jail, even though he himself hated pornography.
I think that's kind of an act.
You think it's kayfabe?
Kayfabe.
You think that's kayfabe?
Could be.
I don't think so. I think Mr. Faringer really found it very disagreeable, but what was really disagreeable was the idea that someone could tell you what to read or what not to read. That was offensive.
I mean, not only do they not make him like that, they don't make him that good looking. I should also add that this guy looked the part.
Joe DiMaggio of the First Amendment.
Once again, our listeners are at a deficit here because they can't see how handsome
he is. Kind of like you, Zerambo. Well, the Joe DiMaggio of Arts and
that'll,
Seizure.
That'll give people some idea, a faint idea.
A Google search. I mean, they're going to be listening to this around their internet device.
Well, you know what's crazy is so I was talking to some young people. I mean young, like 30. And they didn't know what Penthouse Magazine was. You know, yeah. And they'd never seen a copy of Hustler, let alone, you know. And these things were just like, they'd heard of Playboy, sure, but Screw Magazine, which we also talk about, and my old friend and mentor, Al Goldstein, no fucking clue. But they had never seen a girly magazine.
That's too bad.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a wonderful thing, a girly magazine. I think that's the way everyone should learn about sex. Not the internet.
You should take a poll.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think online pornography is pretty great, though.
Yeah, really? What do you enjoy most about it? Besides, it's free.
Free, endless lesbians. As many lesbians as that could fill the entire world.
Well, you know, people always ask, they say, why do men, you know, love watching lesbian porn so much? And the answer is, they're not actually lesbians.
Well, because there's no dudes in it.
Well, there's no dudes in it. That's because that's the thing. There are no dudes. Don't cross swords.
That's
what I'm saying.
It's not my cup of tea, but you got to dance how you feel.
Whatever gets you through the night, right, Sinatra?
You bet. What about the swinger club? There's talk about swinger clubs.
Swinger club. So this young woman whose name escapes me because she's already had her 15 minutes, who claims to be friends with Kate Middleton, is bringing her sex club, Killing Kittens, to New York. And, of course, there are a few other quote-unquote sex clubs, kind of the modern day of – it's no Plato's Retreat. You know, this is a different thing, but I just feel like this is like the greatest scam of all time. You know, of course, you know, all dudes want to go to a sex club, but of course, no unaccompanied men. That was always the case, though, at Plato's as well. It's for women. But I love that you could join your club. She says, it is the most elite sex club in the world. You can be a member for $15.
Did you go to Plato's? Did you make it up there? Come on. You were
I'm a little too young for that.
You were? Well, come on. You're never too young.
What was happening? You know, I'll be honest with you.
Young Plato.
Al Goldstein didn't bring you?
And
young
I'll put it, Plato. I'll put it to you guys.
Young Plato.
I mean, I guess, you know, maybe I was like, maybe like 19 or 20 in the very last days of Plato's before it closed. Have you been there, Pete?
Actually, no. Actually, I've never even been to a strip club.
You've never been to a strip club? For realsies.
You're not missing much. It's kind of a creepy, rapey male vibe.
Is it?
I've only been a couple times. Not for me either.
Well, that's a bit reductive now, isn't it, Michael?
No.
I don't know. You never been to Billy's Topless back, you know?
No, I knew girls that worked there and the whole thing. How do you
play in the flesh tones and avoid going to a strip club?
We don't play strip
at your advanced,
clubs.
At your advanced age.
We don't take our clothes off. I don't know. No one would pay to see that.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Strip club's not something I seek out, but in the course of my adult
it
life,
happens,
I've certainly
right?
found myself in a couple titty bars.
It happens.
And you know, Billy's was a great neighborhood joint. You know, I mean, it was really a neighborhood. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't a clip joint.
What
you know?
What fires you up about the Killing Kittens thing? Because you sent me the link. I read it, and I was like, all right.
Oh, because it's such pretentious bullshit. I mean, that's what fires. We're so elite. Send us $15. And you can, you know, I know Kate Middleton, you know. You know. So she's sort of trading on her friend's fame, you know, the royal family, such as it is. And, you know, and the people they talk to, and also it sounds just flatly awful. Listen, I've got no moral high ground to stand on. I do not judge. If people want to go out of an orgy, God bless them. More power to them, you know? Right on. Like I said, whatever gets you through the night, I'm not judging. But this just sounds icky poo. Icky poo.
I think because it's for the wealthy. It's like a 1% sex club. And they're trying to make it look...
$15.
Yeah. Well, or $80 a year, I think it is. Actually.
Oh, $80 a year.
This was like an invite only thing.
Well, no. But you become a member, and no, it's they like you to think
that rules
that.
Me.
She's
out,
just
actually.
She's just
I
making
think
money.
This is because you haven't been invited.
This is a cash grab. Well, I don't have $15. I don't have $15, and I don't think they're willing to take a pizza, which is what I get paid here.
I don't know. They might a Roberta's pizza. I think would might. I mean, I think there's room for negotiation.
I'd rather have a pizza than anything that's happening over there at the Killing Kittens sex party.
Oh, that doesn't sound so bad.
So in your chaste life, Zerumbo, you've never been to a strip club. Have you ever seen a dirty magazine?
Yes, actually. I've seen several. I've seen several in my
Was Playboy the first?
It probably was. You know, but of course, I only looked at it for the literature.
The articles.
The articles, of
well,
course.
You learned how to make a perfect old-fashioned.
It's a perfect old-fashioned and all that stuff. What was your first Dirty magazine, Mike?
Oh, Hustler. Because I had to sneak them out of my dad's closet because he was the art director, so...
And here is sort of what got the ball rolling. Your dad was the art director of Hustler.
Yep, and that's how the whole thing started. Started hanging out, and I wanted to get some of this stuff, some of his stories recorded, and it turned into a documentary, a full-blown documentary. With 41 different characters in it.
That's a cast of thousands, a cavalcade.
And we have three dead people in it now.
So it's like you're dropping like flies.
They're dropping like flies. I'm glad we got them.
I could be next.
You never know. Well, I could be next.
Morten Henriksen of the famous Norwegian pop rock and roller guy, the Vikings, Yum Yums, all that. Caroline. You know Caroline, right? She did all those. She was like the top softcore porn star in Norway until very recently when she retired. He has a huge collection at his house in Moss, Norway, of old porno from the 60s and 50s and stuff. The best magazine out of all of them is a tiny pocket-sized magazine called Cavalcade. So you mentioned Cavalcade, and those are great.
That was a great era, you know, of girly magazines before everything was so explicit. And, of course, your movie, we talked about, like, you know, and like my book, Dirty, 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 which I shouldn't be ashamed at all to plug shamelessly.
Now's the time.
And Dirty, 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 which really covers the story of Hugh Hefner through Larry Flint and Hustler, Bob Guccione and Penthouse, and my friend Al Goldstein at Screw. Larry Flint was the guy that showed the beaver. He was the guy, the first show that really showed the pink, that he really opened it up and went past what Playboy was doing, trying to be like the girl next door, you know, wink, a wink and a nod that we're not really about sex, when obviously that magazine was designed for someone's procreative act in the privacy of their own bathroom, usually, I'm imagining. I mean, I saw Playboy, and, you know, you couldn't convince me that anybody was buying it for the football preview, as sage as it may have been.
Although that, you know, it's funny because when I was researching all this stuff and I really looked at Playboy's in the 70s, I did find myself reading the Arthur C. Clarke fiction.
Oh, listen, Playboy in the 70s, early 70s and late 60s, was into the early 60s, actually, was probably the best American magazine of all
the
time.
The interviews? And fantastic.
There's no doubt that the editorial was of a super high quality, and that was the genius of Hugh Hefner, that, you know, that old queen Hefner. He really did. He put sex into context. So you could buy a girly magazine and feel kind of smart about doing it. I mean, the bullshit part of it was like, hey, we want to talk to girls about world events, and we want to discuss cubism and modern art, and we'd love to play chess with them and whatever. But then how does he represent the women in his magazine? Like the dumbest, most negatively stereotype enforcing bimbos that money can buy. And it's really a shame because he puts off this great worldview of being very sophisticated, but at the end of the day, it's just really about getting laid.
Yeah.
Isn't it always?
I think Larry probably had a lot to do. Larry and Al particularly had a lot to do with kind of pushing all that aside and showing it what it really was, you know, like what that it really was about jerking off. It wasn't about...
Well, they're honest about it. I mean, Hefner was very careful about his image and that Lord of the Manor sort of bullshit that he loved to portray, whereas, you know, Al and Larry were pigs and proud. I mean, Larry Flint's the guy who tells you, I'm a chicken fucker from Kentucky, you know. But, you know, let's face it, at the end of the day, Playboy is tanking. I mean, it's going down like the Titanic, the magazine. And by the way, it's still a really nice product. I mean, if you pick up Playboy,
the
editor is a very talented guy, and there's really some really compelling editorial in it. I mean, the content of the women, of course, they're all beautiful, but it's, you know, kind of past its shelf life a little bit, the concept of Playboy magazine. Hustler's kind of sinking because no one really wants a porn magazine because of the internet, although Larry was very smart and got into the internet before, he saw it coming. But Larry looked at it as a businessman. He got it, you know. Also, he owns a casino, which is smart. But what I want to say is Hefner, who no longer even owns his mansion, which apparently the rugs are all dirty and filled with, like, dog poop at the mansion, Larry Flint, the guy, you know, in the wheelchair, has got a giant building on Wilshire Boulevard with his name on it.
One of my favorite lines in the movie is when you say Hefner's, like, up there like Sunset Boulevard. Because when you watch it with a crowd, there's always someone who gets the reference. And
oh, these kids, they don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But he is. He's padding around his mansion like Gloria Swanson. You know, he's, you know, it's, what did she say? It's, you know, it's not the pictures that got small.
You know, he did one great innovative thing in a totally different field in television. The Playboy After Dark show was... was really a great
awesome
thing.
Yeah, that was cool,
you know, and the whole concept. We tried to retread that a bit for our final season of The Cutting Edge, if anyone remembers that show, when we did the thing up at the revolving bar on the top of the Holiday Inn in Hollywood. We tried to do a Playboy After Dark thing. Quite frankly, it didn't come anywhere near how great that show was.
Well, you didn't have Nat King Cole.
Didn't have Nat King Cole. We didn't have Hugh Hefner stumbling around.
The greatest fake cocktail party of all time.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Kayfabe cocktail party. Well, I'll tell you what. How about...
Some real cocktails.
Really. So, Rambo, I thought you were going to bring the portable bar.
Next show.
This week.
Next show. We're going to...
You and Lovely and your old fashions.
I'm coming up against you.
The
controversy is going to start this show, and it's going to keep on growing.
Well, I think the controversy is going to start right after this premiere.
It's not a premiere; it's a sneak preview.
A sneak preview. God damn it! A sneak preview. What are we sneaking?
As part of the fabulous Norton Records series of Stones covers on 45s, the Fleshtones were asked to contribute something. We chose the song by the Rolling Stones, one of my favorites, Got to Get Away. Shall we?
We shall.
Okay.
Here on Arts and Seizures. You heard it here first.
Reggie Watts, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Holy cow. You play that Rolling Stones song and a party broke out
in
here.
That's right. The hits keep coming, Mike.
Holy cow. We're just being joined by the illustrious Cliff Mott, just walked in, artist to the stars.
Unannounced.
And who else we got in here?
Surprise drop-in guest all the way from Paris, France, photographer Yuri Lonquette. Welcome.
Bienvenue. It's nice to see you here after all this time.
Yeah, and look, we've lured you down into the heart of hipsterdom here in Bushwick.
And the original hipster himself, Cliff Mott, who I believe came to get paid for some T-shirts he did for you 14 years ago.
Oh, wow, look what he's got in his pocket.
It's a Fleshtones cassette.
I never leave home without.
Speaking of Paris, this is Speed Connection 2. Everyone should have one.
Speed Connection 2?
That was our motto. But we said, what type of sales thing should we have for this record? And we said, well, Speed Connection. Everyone should have one. You know, this was recorded live in Paris in 1985. You were there, Yuri.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah,
you were there.
And you know, remember that at the end of these 3 or 4 days of recording, the last day, there was like a version of this album that was mixed very quickly, pressed, and
it was already sold. In the stores. Right, it was in the stores the next day, actually, after the first night.
An instant record.
It was an instant record.
That's why this one is called Speed Connection 2, because this is like the better mixed and with a different cover.
Actually, yes, the fake mix, where we redid our vocals and actually added a whole song that was recorded in a studio.
Hey, if it's good enough for Kiss, it's good enough for the Flesh Tones.
It's good enough for us all.
That's what I always say. So what's going on with you, Cliff Mott? What
do
you,
get out.
That funny round penis-looking thing is a microphone. Get right up on it.
Right, gotcha. I hear there's pizza.
There's this pizza.
Yes.
It's delicious pizza.
I know.
It's the best pizza in town, so.
It's terrific pizza.
I can't believe a rock and roll thing. Well, we're just about to, after that great Stones thing, I think we're just going to get back to the endless debate, Beatles versus Stones. I don't even know why we're still debating it. Okay.
That debate is going to be eternal.
I don't see why there even is a debate. Listen, Beatles are sacred cows, and you all love them. I'm not really sure why. They're hardly a rock and roll band. I mean, they started as a rock and roll band.
They did.
They were a good, convincing rock and roll band. And then what happened? Art.
How did this whole thing start?
French horns. Bob Dylan gave them pot, and the whole ball just rolled right off the fucking table. And the next thing I knew, I was listening to Abbey Road. Okay. Well, Nick, you know, seriously, their bad song to good song ratio is so appalling for a band of that stature. I mean, you know, look, listen, Forever Your Blues. I think I saw her standing there. Might be the last great thing they did. But for every great song they did later, like, you know, Your Blues, or Helter Skelter, there's some oh-blah-dee, oh-blah-da, or some interminable piece of shit. It sounds like a kid doing his piano lesson.
You mean like Rocky Raccoon?
Like Hey Jude.
Come on, Rocky Raccoon.
Which sounds like the kid next door practicing his piano lesson. You know, was it like 11 minutes long?
I agree with some of these points.
Most interminable, boring piece of shit I've ever heard in my life.
Mike, all I can say is Yoko and me. That's reality, okay? That's reality. I like the Stones, I think, sort of grew in a sick kind of way, whereas the Beatles kind of meandered off a bit. But Lemmy said something very interesting. When he said, when people were putting down the Beatles, and he said, well, the Beatles versus the Stones, he goes, the Stones were all middle-class kids from London, right? The Beatles were from, like, Liverpool, you know? And they cut their teeth in Hamburg. You know,
they had a speed connection.
They were you better believe it. You know, I mean, who were the real punks at it? You know, the fact is that the Beatles couldn't resist, you know, getting some clean suits when the budget allowed for it. You know,
they couldn't resist getting a French horn player when the budget allowed for it. That was their downfall.
I'm an easy beats guy myself.
I'm pro Beatles, but John Waters has my favorite quote, which is, rock and roll was something along the lines of, like, rock and roll was great till those honkies, the Beatles, came along and ruined it.
Well, I
think it's really funny, but I'm definitely pro Beatles. I don't think it's Beatles versus Stones. It's like, why does Mike Edison hate the Beatles so much? It's really my question.
It's not the hatred of the
What
happened to my bad Beatles experience?
You have like a bad acid trip or something?
Is that what you're looking for? I've been bored by them my whole life, and it's sort of like, oh, you must never criticize the Beatles because, I mean, they were kind of like the Kim Gordon of their day. You know, you couldn't criticize them without everyone looking at you. You know, it's like, okay. And before it came, like, Patti Smith, and I like Kim and I like Patti very much, but let's face it, they are like on the do not criticize list. You know, it's okay to make fun of the Pope.
I'm not criticizing them.
But, you know.
I don't really like Patti Smith. I don't think it holds up. I think it's important for its time.
Uh-oh.
I mean.
But fuck it, I don't.
Cliff.
Ooh, you see?
Cliff is keeping out of this. So is Yuri. Exactly. They're smart.
Cliff, if you want some pizza, you must enjoy the fray.
I like it with this. This is what's this? This is the John Kale.
The John Kale pizza.
The John Kale pizza. Oh, and it's spicy.
Now, there was a guy who knew how to make a racket.
Yeah, right. Former label mate.
You know, I like the Beatles and like them, the Velvet Underground, for all those people who claim to love them and never really sit around listening to them.
How many records did they, when they were together, how many records did each of those albums sell? Like 6,000? 7,000? If that.
The Velvet Underground?
When the Velvet records.
The Ramones weren't selling tons of records.
Oh, I know that.
At the time either. I mean, certainly one of the most enduring rock and roll bands of all time, you know, and everyone's got the t-shirt, but at the time they weren't really selling many records. Mm-hmm. And I think people misunderstand too about the 70s, such as they were, was, oh yeah, disco and punk. But punk wasn't selling any records. I mean, they were written about because critics liked it and was certainly, you know, viable and strong and incredibly, you know, valuable artistic movement. But who was buying those records? Was anybody really going to see Richard Hell? And disco too. It was happening in certain little pockets, you know, before Saturday Night Fever came out, and it sort of became a shopping mall thing. But it was like a culty thing in gay clubs in New York, and it sort of like drifted down into dance clubs.
You mean
but
those clubs I was going to were gay? No wonder there were no girls there. Wait a minute, all that time I wasted. Christ,
the world.
I'd wait until like 4 or 5 in the morning. You know, I'd still be there waiting for the action to pick up.
And then you've formed the Fleshtones.
I think this idea that all you had was disco and prog and then punk came along and smashed it is bullshit,
right,
too.
Of course.
Like, there were so many great funk records and disco records and soul records happening at the same time.
No, and avant-garde punk music of the 60s as well. And
yeah, and the salsa record. There were just so many things happening at that time that there was no one paradigm shift. There were no paradigm shifts. It was just like everything's
but
happening
the bands
at the same
that were
time.
Huge in the 70s when everyone's saying, oh my God, it was punk rock in 1977. It was Yes, and the Outlaws, and Styx, and Kansas, and, you know.
Toto.
Oh, my God.
Rush. Wow. Ooh.
Ooh.
Breakfast in America.
Ooh.
Who did that one?
Ooh.
That's a major.
Supertramp.
Supertramp. A major cultural crime.
That's Rush is a real crowd splitter, too.
And
I personally.
And the record is still here as evidence.
A lot of people really
to prove
them.
It, right? Whenever I get my world tribunal together and I'm passing judgment.
This ought to be good.
And I'll say, those guys from Toto, I'm going to bring them in there, and Supertramp. And say, you can't deny these charges because it's right here. And I'll put the record on. I'll say,
the tape don't lie, motherfucker.
That's right.
So, Plains of Africa.
So, Michael, I know you've been looking forward to, like, you know, some action or non-action at the awkward date table. I think this is good. She's sort of like scrolling through photos on her phone, and he looks like he's about to fall asleep waiting for her. He's too nervous to say, hey, come on, honey, get off the cell phone.
Is this the awkward morning date after...
What happened last night?
After what happened last night? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, neither of them are that happy. She's like, I can't even believe I went to brunch with this dude.
I love the awkward date table. This is kind of one of my favorite sections of the show. As a listener,
right?
I look forward to the awkward date table.
It makes the show a lot more organic, shall we say. It reminds me a little bit when I...
A lot less organic.
In the afternoons when I used to... my mom used to listen to the Arthur Godfrey radio show at around noontime.
Well, you're dating yourself.
I had little things like
that.
With a story like that,
you're going to end up dating yourself.
I tell you, before we go, I'm going to try to bring the focus onto something, onto myself. Because Yuri Lunkett, okay, the best show the Fleshtones ever did was our debut in Paris at the Palace. I wish I had the song here that we had just written, Dominique Laboubé. But we'll debut that sneak preview at the next time. After that show, Yuri drove me through Paris, through the streets, on his motorcycle. After this show, I'm going to drive you around Bushwick and Greenpoint in our Subaru. So
nice. Great.
Sexy. Trace, sexy. Well, all right, as ever, it's been the fastest 30 minutes on the internet.
You're kidding.
It's a crazy
Can we extend this show to 35 minutes?
No.
It's just getting
rolling.
Well,
glad to see you, Matt. And listen, everybody, don't forget, Back Issues, the Hustler magazine story is a really, really awesome documentary.
I'm never watching it again.
You're never watching it again. You made it. You don't have to watch it.
But it stars me. And I'm charming, I think.
You're always right. Charming.
But also our friends Mike McPadden and Mr. Farringer, of course, is worth seeing, and some great stuff from Larry Flint and all the people who were attached to it. I mean, it's fucking insanity. I mean, the whole story of Hustler magazine is like a great American insane... just the legacy of that thing and what was going on and the way they made that magazine. If you haven't seen it, please tune in. It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix. So
after you watch House of Cards.
When you're done watching House of Cards.
There you go. I'm watching House.
And by the way, I'm going to tell you right now, House of Cards, the third season sucks. And if you haven't figured that out by the third episode and you're just watching it because it's there, okay, don't. Turn the switch, flip over, watch
I'm
Back
way
Issues,
into that
the Hustler magazine show. There's no sex in the third season. It's just like no that creepy dynamic that I love.
There will be some. Doug is going to get it creepy.
All right.
Oh, he's a creep.
No spoilers here, but I'll tell you what. Let's go out on a nice dirty blues song.
Okay.
How about that? I know we've been talking about trying to find a song to go out on.
Even
kinda
you
like,
can sing.
Kind of like
sing.
Carol Burnett.
Yes, you can.
I'm so glad we've had this time together. But all right. Hearts and Seizures. Thanks, everybody, for coming down. The great Pete Ciaramba. Michael Nuremberg.
Yuri Lunkett from Paris.
And Cliff Mott from Connecticut. We're just sort of like the Paris of don't know.
It's the Paris of North Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, two old ladies sitting in the sand, and each one wishing that the other was a man. Yeah, it's tight like that.
It's tight like that.
Up the chrome off a trailer, and she had it's tight like that.
It's tight like that.
It's tight like that.
It's tight like that.
Mama, it's tight like that. Well, I knew a girl, her name was Tweedledee, had something in her pocket to satisfy me. Yeah, it's tight like that.
It's tight like that.
It's tight like that. All her titties as big as my thumb. Yeah, it's tight like that.
It's tight like that.
It's tight like that. Oh, pretty mama, mama, mama. It's tight like that. All right, hearts and seizures here live from Roberta's in Bushwick on the Heritage Radio Network. And don't forget, Arts and Seizures is member-supported, so if you see a button that says be a member or donate, click that thing. Be a part of it. Pizza Rumble will come over your house with a pizza and a harmonica, and all hell's gonna break loose. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.